الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام
عليكم. الحمد لله. None of you are outside trick and treat on Halloween. Driving here, you can see the people on the streets. They're having fun, enjoying themselves, drinking, and boys hanging around with the girls, going to the nightclubs. You might think that they're having fun. But if you think about it, they're burning in fire. While you are here sitting in the masjid and I think it's boring, you are in the garden of the gardens of paradise.
Sure.
You just need to think about the consequences of what you do. You could be out there enjoying yourself, but what is really happening is that you're burning in Jahannam. You're actually burning. And with the sabr, the little sabr of coming to the masjid and spending your time with your brothers, you are actually rewarding yourself with moments in Jannah. So never regret what you're doing. Say Alhamdulillah. Because it's Allah who brought you here. You couldn't have made it on your own. It's Allah Azza wa Jal who blessed you to become here. Allah Azza wa Jal has chosen you out of mankind to guide. You see, because on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will come to, or the angels will, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling Adam alayhi salam. See, Adam is the father of everyone. He's your father, he's the father of the people on the street, he's the father of the blacks, the whites, the Asians, everyone. Adam is the father of everyone. So Allah Azza wa Jal will come to the father of humanity on the Day of Judgment and will tell him, Oh Adam, akhrij ba'd an-nar. Adam, send out the portion of your children that will go to hellfire. You send them to hellfire. So Adam will say, وَمَا بَعْثُ النَّارِ O Allah, what is the portion of my progeny that will go to hellfire? Allah Azza wa Jal will tell him, out of every 1,999. Out of every 1,000 human beings, 999 will go to hell. So if you are that one who is saved, you are certainly blessed. If Allah has chosen you out of 1,000 people to go to Jannah, there's nothing you could do that could pay for that. No offense, no nothing. We think that we're doing a lot for Allah and that we're doing nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says on the Day of Judgment, when you see what's happening, you will realize that if you, for every day in your life, since the day you were born until the day you die, if you were being dragged in this world on your face, imagine a car is dragging you on the pavement, on your face. If that's happening to you since the day you were born until the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah will say, لَحَقِّرَ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. You would see that as insignificance on the Day of Judgment. Even that is not a sufficient price to save from hellfire or to pay for Jannah. So these few moments that you're spending here, don't brag about it, don't think that, oh Allah, I'm doing so much for you. You're doing nothing. Because it was Allah Azza wa Jalla who brought you here in the first place. So you need to thank Him for bringing you here. And then you need to thank Him for allowing you to thank Him. And the cycle goes on and on. can never pay Allah Azza wa Jalla back. So we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah for what He has given us. People are outside lost, going to Jahannam and loads, and He has chosen us to be in this place. فَنَسَلُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لَنَا يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ. This is the month of Ramadan. These are blessed moments. You want to make sure that you don't waste any one of them. Now let's talk about the sweet stuff. Scared you a bit. Let's move on to what will make you happy. Let's talk about Jannah. If we make a comparison between dunya and jannah, we can compare between them in four areas. Number one, this world is temporary, while jannah is everlasting. مَا عَنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عَنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. What you have is temporary, and what Allah has is permanent. How long are you going to live in dunya? Just today, on the news strip on CNN, it was saying that the oldest person in the world passed away at the age of 116. Just a few weeks ago, they said that the oldest one was 114, now 116. So that's the maximum age. And maybe for the last few decades of the life of this human being, they just wish that they die, and they're not enjoying anything. How long would you live in Jannah? A billion years? Trillion years? It's infinite. Everlasting life. So if you make a ratio between this world and Jannah, let's see how good you are at math. If you want to make a ratio between dunya and akhirah, you divide dunya by akhirah. So 116 divided by infinity, what's the answer? Zero. Is that right? Subhanallah, the ratio of dunya to akhirah is zero. It's nothing. You are working for zero, spending your time for zero, happy that you have zero. It's nothing. Dunya is nothing. It's not worth it. Math tells us that dunya is worthless. It is zero. Big zero. Nothing. So is it worth it? Is it worth living for a zero and missing out on the eternal? Only an insane person would go with such a deal. You know, tell you have $1 million, and this investment broker comes to you and say, I have a very good investment for you. I'll take your $1 million and I'll turn it into a zero. And you say, yeah, fine, great, let's go ahead with it. Crazy, they'll take you to a mental hospital. That's what most of the people on the face of the earth are doing. They're investing everything they have. They're investing their health. They're investing their wealth. They're investing their effort, their time, for a big zero. That's what they're getting. And they're sacrificing akhirah, the everlasting life. It's the worst deal you could ask for. In Jannah, there's no timing. There's nothing to rush. So you're in Jannah, and you go out of your palace with your wife, take a walk in Jannah, and you pass next to this beautiful garden of yours. Now, because you have so much territory and real estate in Jannah, there's some parts of it that you have never seen, even though you've been in Jannah for 1 million years now, but you haven't seen all of what Allah has given you yet, because it's so big. So you go with your wife to this wonderful garden, and you see this rose, and you just love it, and you sit there staring at the rose for a year. You're just watching, staring at this rose for a year, enjoying it. And then you sit there talking with your wife for 30 years. You're not in a hurry. She's not in a hurry. She doesn't have to cook, clean, wash. You don't have any work to do. You don't have any appointments. It's paid for. You don't have to do anything. There's nothing to rush. You want to meet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go and make an appointment with him. He'll give you time. Spend as much time as you want with him. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loves you and you love him, because everybody in Jannah loves each other. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ وَأَنَّهُمْ عَلَى صُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we have taken out of their hearts all of the feelings of animosity, jealousy, hatred. It's all taken away. Ikhwana, everybody is the brother of everyone else in Jannah. عَلَى قَلْبِ رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. Allah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they will have one heart. Everyone in Jannah, as if they have one heart. You're reading about the story of Umar ibn Khattab and you just didn't understand what happened. You go with Umar ibn Khattab and you sit with him and you ask him, tell me what happened on that day. He just tells you the whole story. And you look at your watch, you've been with Umar ibn Khattab for an entire week. You can sit there and enjoy your meal for a month. You just eat, continuously eating. You just eat and eat and eat. Because whatever you eat will come out as musk. So you keep on eating your favorite dish and you can never have enough of it because the taste gets better. And you're not going to gain weight. There's no cholesterol problems. No blood pressure. No heart attacks. Nothing. If you love eating fat, just take fat and eat it. If you love greasy food, have as much of it as you want. And everything in Jannah is big portions, you know, you're not going to get these small portions. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describes the birds that are drinking from the water of Al-Kawthar. Al-Kawthar is the river of Rasulullah. That's his river. It belongs to him. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw it. And he saw some birds on the banks of his river drinking from that river. Rasulullah said, the necks of these birds are like the necks of camels. That's how big the neck is. Imagine how much meat would be on that neck. Umar ibn Khattab, when he heard that, he said, wallahi inna lana'ima. Oh, these birds are blessed. Rasulullah said, wa akalatuha an'am. The ones who are eating them are even more blessed. You think that these birds are blessed, the ones who will eat them are even more blessed. So you see one of those birds flying in the air. You just look at it. Alright? And your eyes will just hunt it for you. It will come down on your plate, ready to eat. Now, in dunya, we can't understand what infinite time means. You know, we just don't get it. You know, when you say infinity, what does that mean? Our minds cannot understand that. Alright, I'm going to live in Jannah for 1,000,000 years, and then what? Billion years, and then what? Billion years, and then what? It never ends? No, it never ends. It keeps on going. And it gets better and better and better. You know, the Energizer bunny will die and you're still alive in Jannah. Keeps on going and going and going. It never ends. So that's time-wise in Jannah al-Khuld. Second comparison is quantity. Everything in dunya is small and everything in Jannah is big. The richest person in this country, how much real estate does he own? The richest man in the entire UK. Who's the richest man in the UK? Who is it? Who?
The Duke of Edinburgh.
Does he own Edinburgh?
He's a member of the world family.
But does he own Edinburgh? No. Does he own the city of Edinburgh?
Victoria.
He owns half of Victoria. Half. See? Half, quarter, one-eighth. Nobody owns everything. Nobody ever owns Edinburgh. Nobody ever owned London. And he's richest. You know, you buy here a small hut in London, it costs you $250,000. If There was never and there will be never a person who will own the city of London, the entire city of London. And these people are working so hard to become wealthy, and at the end of the day they just own half, one quarter, one eighth, one tenth. That's it. So nobody ever owns London, let alone the United Kingdom, let alone the earth. No one in the history of mankind. It's never happened and will never happen. What about in Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the last man to leave from hellfire, when he gets out of hellfire, he will not get into Jannah. He will go out of hellfire to this empty land between Jannah and Nar. But he will be so happy that Allah saved him from hellfire, he will say, "Oh Allah, you have blessed me with a blessing that you haven't blessed anyone with." He's so happy that he's out of hellfire. That's enough for him. But then he sees a tree in the horizon. Being a human being, you know, you always are greedy. So he says, "Oh Allah, please, allow me to go under that tree." So Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "Go there." So he'll go under that tree. When he gets there, he would see a tree that is better. He would say, "Oh Allah, I want to go under that tree." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "O son of Adam, didn't you promise me you're not going to ask for anything more?" He says, "Oh Allah, this is the last time. Just that tree. This is the last time. I'm not going to ask for anything else. That's it." Allah will tell him, "Promise?" He says, "Yes, promise." Allah will tell him, "Go." He gets under the second tree. He sees the third tree. It even looks better. He says, "Oh Allah, please, allow me to go under that tree, eat from its fruit, and drink from the water there." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "O son of Adam, haven't you promised me that you're not going to ask for anything else?" You say, "Oh Allah, this is the last time. That's it." He gets under the third tree. When he gets under the third tree, now things are getting better. Why? Because it's getting closer to Jannah. And just the smell of Jannah affects things. When he gets under the third tree, what does he see? He sees the walls of Jannah, the gates of paradise. Now this man knows how bad his conduct was in dunya, so he's not telling Allah to take him into Jannah. He's saying, "Oh Allah, please allow me to go and sit under the gates of Jannah. I just want to sit there. Not to get into Jannah, just sit under the gates of Jannah. Just allow me to go there." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "O son of Adam, you've been promising again and again, and you never keep your promise." He says, "Oh Allah, I promise you, this is the last time." So Allah will allow him to go under that gate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, but this man is seeing things he cannot hold back from. It's too good. So the man can't even keep his promise. And Allah is excusing him, because Allah knows how difficult it is to keep a promise in such a situation. You can. So he gets under the gates of Jannah, and when he sits there, what happens? He starts hearing the conversations of the people inside Jannah. Now just the conversation, without him seeing anything in Jannah, but just hearing the tone of their voice, and the way they speak, he feels the blessing and the pleasure that they're going through. He can feel how happy they are by just hearing them talk. And that's when he can't control himself. He will say, "Oh Allah, please let me go in." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "O son of Adam, what will satisfy you? Every time you make a promise, you break it. What will satisfy you? Would you be happy if I give you the equivalent of the earth and everything in it? Not London, not Edinburgh, not Victoria, the whole earth and everything on it?" He will say, "Yes, Allah, I'm pleased." I mean, this man has done so much evil, he couldn't even imagine one day owning the equivalent of the earth and everything in it. He says, "Yes, I will be pleased." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "I'll give you that. Similar to it, and similar to it, and similar to it." So Allah is giving him the earth one time, two times the size of the earth, three times the size of the earth, four times the size of the earth. When Allah tells him five times, the man is so happy and so embarrassed with what Allah has given him, he tries to stop Allah and say, "Oh Allah, that's enough, that's enough.